you know, we'll already mention that there are, that's something that we could truly never regret, but there are those that do. You know, obviously the born again will never regret that, but unfortunately, there have been a lot of people that that have come in contact anyway with the things of God, tasted of the peace that he can bring. And because of the hardship, because of the thorns and the thistles that seem to shadow the important things in life, that they look at that, they look at the experience that they had when the Lord in His mercy shed light in their life, and they do regret it. They wish that they'd never heard the truth, and they wish that things could be as they once was before they knew the truth. But I am thankful that those that are truly born again can really, truly say that we have nothing to regret when it comes to the things of God, that He's always provided for us and always made a way, even when there is no way. We were thinking about some things that we say in our culture that we ought to be careful about. I can remember the particular phrase that if so-and-so knew that, he'd be rolling over in his grave. You remember that? Have you heard that? How many people's heard that just time and time again? Well, then we've heard it being shortened, and they're saying, oh, so-and-so's rolling over in his grave, not posing the question or not making the statement that if he knew that he'd be rolling over in his grave, but that by making the statement that he is, you know, and then though I've been guilty of saying that, to make a point that somebody that was dead, that if they knew what was going on, that they'd be displeased in it. But then there's on the positive side of that, we've heard somebody say, old so-and-so's looking down, I believe, and he's happy. How many of us have heard that as well? You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of human beings that like to create a fictional ideals in their mind that that will comfort them in times of trouble, or they might come up and say something that might make them feel close with some dear loved one that has passed on. But we were thinking about that very thing this week, that if so-and-so speaking about those Christians that have went on, if they could see this, or if they were looking down, what they would think, and it come to our mind, and we begin to think about the Holy Scripture. Jesus Christ spoke about the rich man of Lazarus, and he said, when the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, and he seen Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, that he said, or Abraham rather, said to him, that you lived a lavish life in Lazarus. We'll just go ahead and we can turn there if you'd want to. This one verse that says, but Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And then we can find here in 2 Corinthians, in the 4th chapter, in the 7th verse, or in the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse he says, for we walk by faith, and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And then if you want to, you can turn over into Philippians in the 1st chapter, the 21st verse that says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh,
flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm here to tell you today, I'm glad that the dearly departed saints that we all are looking down here on this earth. I'm going to say it with Jesus to be comforted. They don't see his troubles and torments and struggles no more. They don't see their dearly loved ones who have turned their back on the ways that they held so true to, that were so dear to their heart. You know what the Bible speaks about? Jesus giving an account of those being cast out and looking, as it were, makes one think those in hell might be able to see into heaven. Can you imagine being themselves cast out and the children of God there on the forest throne? Well, we think, I don't know, old Lazarus, or the rich man rather, wanted Lazarus to be sent to us, to his brothers, that they'd not come to that awful place. That's why God's children can't see down here once they leave. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ Jesus. There are some that say, Daryl, what on earth are you talking about? The Bible tells me that we'll be sleeping in the grave. Well, I'm thankful that if we get into God's Word, Jesus told the one thief there beside him, he said, today, I did not say, tomorrow, or on that glorious resurrection, he said, but today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So how can it be? Whom did God send Jesus and his 10,000 angels to resurrect? Where the Bible tells me that the resurrection, glory to God, will be a physical resurrection. Oh, and we die, our soul shall be with the Lord. We'll be in a place of rest. And to be quite honest with you, our soul is still yet even lay in the grave. Because my God is a mighty God. He's not bound by space and time. He's not here and unable to be there. And he tells us as well that we can be in his presence as we are now. Oh, but in a much better and more vivid way. I am thankful that when the Lord's coming back, we're assured that it'll be for that glorious bodily resurrection. But that is children that die in the harness before that great and glorious resurrection can be in his presence. And it'll be a place of peace. But those that are tormented, the Bible alludes to it. Oh, we should have turned there and read it to you about those lifting up as their eyes just like Lazarus. I might be able to see in the heaven. I wonder if they could see in this present world as well how it would torment them even the more so. Just like that other rich man, I wanted Lazarus to go and talk to his brothers. Jesus Christ was telling them there in this wonderful parable, or rather in this account, that if a man would return from the dead, they had not listened to Abraham and the prophets. Even one would return from the dead.
There's no way anybody could be in heaven and look down at it on this earth and see their loved ones and not serving the Lord and being comforted by it. You know what? We like to think that they can see things that are good. But to be able to see things that are good, what would I have to imagine that they'd be able to see all around that we're bad. But now, think of that one that turned his back to the persuasion of God. That one that heard the gospel message preached time and time again. That one that looked in the face of her children and said, there ain't nothing doing. When you're dead, you're dead. You're just like a dog. Then we see what has become of this world. Because people have believed such foolishness. I've heard it more than once. Oh, that we're just like animals. We're just like dogs. When you're dead, you're dead. And because people would be so foolish to believe that, well, they live it out. And truly, they live their life like a female dog or like an animal, a beast in the field. But thanks be to God, He has created mankind to be above the animals. And though we might stoop beneath even what they would do, I'm thankful that God has found a better way. I wonder how many times these that have told their children there's nothing to it, told their brothers and sisters when they split hell wide open, I wonder how desperately they must want to let their loved ones know, just like this rich man. How many fathers said, no, I know the right way, but yet when they perished in their sins, that they would want somebody to come back, that they would want them to know. And as they see them make it, if it were possible, we could only speculate that if they could see their children making the same mistakes that they did, saying, oh, I might be persuaded to be a Christian, but if my father knew about it, he'd roll over in his grave, not knowing that their father is crying out in the devil's hell. And each and every one of us can experience that if we trust in Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Master and Savior. You know what? They're just words sometimes. Some would say, Daryl, you're highly superstitious. And you know, I'd have to agree with them that there is a lot of church-going folk that are superstitious. But God's children aren't. I don't do this, and that. Hey, because I don't turn the other way. You know, I work with a fella, or I did. He's not been working where we're working at for a little over a year now, but I've been told that on his way into work, if a black cat crossed the road, he would stop
and he would go another direction. You know what? People laugh and think that's funny. But there's a lot of people that are just as superstitious about the things of God. And they think if I go to church, if I do this, if I do that, that I'm going to be all right. That you shouldn't do that because, you know, there's a lot of people. I can think of one particular woman that comes to our mind that she thinks it's awful. There's sin all in her life, but she considers herself to be religious, and maybe she is. But she thinks it's awful that anybody would cremate themselves, that they would choose that. And you know what? I don't want to be cremated because I think by being buried, there's a beautiful picture of what's going to take place. You know what? God said that there is a resurrection coming, and that the sleeping dust of the earth shall rise, that will come forth from her grave. But you know what? So therefore, I don't want to do anything that would take away from that experience at my death for any lost loved one that I might have there. We know that that cremation is surrounded by a lot of false ideas from the other religions of this world. But listen, if I die some years from now, tomorrow, no matter. But if I was to die years from now in the prison for preaching the gospel, the state's practice at that point is to burn all prisoners, it don't matter at all. Why? Because the Bible teaches me that the sleeping dust of the earth is going to raise. They can scatter me out. They can be as the Buddhist. I didn't know this until we was watching a public television about a certain segment of the Buddhists over there in Tibet, that they take their dead up on the mountain, lay them on a flat rock, and cut them up into such small pieces so that the buzzards might eat them and, as it were, set them free. But they tied them there because they don't want the other animals to drag them all about. And there'd be a bone here, a bone there. And I got to thinking as soon as I heard that a buzzard ain't going to eat the bones. But I guess that these Buddhists come back. They went on and said they cut them up in such small pieces that there isn't one piece left that the buzzards don't eat and carry off. And so that in their next life they reach great heights and whatnot. But you know what? I thought about that. And I thought, well, my goodness, could you imagine if that was your religion, to take your dearly beloved one, person, lay them out on that flat rock and cut them up in bite-sized pieces for a buzzard. To me, that would be troubling. Oh, but to a devout Buddhist, they are to be detached from all things, to be attached to anything. It would be to bring your soul down in this present world. So therefore, a true devout Buddhist is attached to nothing, not his wife, not his children, because then he would have ties in this earth and his soul could not leave, as it were. Oh, but thanks be to God, all that the Lord would have his children to be attached to down here is that which he's blessed them with. The children, the souls that will never die. And he wants us to press forward to the mark, to the high calling that he's given us, everyone. Oh, why? Because there's more to life than this present world. And I would hate the thoughts of requiring that of my loved ones. Would you, there at my deathbed, Riley, make sure you take me to the mountainside so that the buzzards might carry my soul away.
Riley, don't disgrace my corpse by having my bones scattered. But I want them buzzards to take my soul away to fly high. But yet God has given each and every one of us, this generation doesn't have to rely on the next generation. But each generation has to answer for his own doings. And when Daryl lays on his deathbed, whether Daryl's soul will fly high will be because Daryl has accepted Jesus as Lord and Master. I don't have to require my children. You know, I don't know children get old and move off. And hopefully somebody, I guess, within that community in Tibet, somebody is faithful. They showed the flat rock there. They were looking in these caves, doing a bunch of archaeological or whatever the word is, digging in the dirt. But yet they'd come across this, and this is still practiced over there, and they were even trying to study and find out about a religion before the Buddhists come to Tibet. And I guess there was some other man that was a lot like the Buddha that pretty much taught all the same things. But the one religion pushed out the other one. But there they showed that flat rock, and it had all these narrow knives laying there. And they said that the people that come and done that would cut up the bodies, that they wouldn't take those knives back to their village because they were used, that they were knives of death, and that it would bring evil spirits or bad luck what they call that, bad karma, back to the village. So they left them knives out there, and you could see the rock where it had been stained with blood, and the knives were stained with blood. So they was pretty quick at getting, I guess, the people back out there and working them up. But you know what? That these people, and it went on to show this cave, that Buddhist going to this cave, and they spend some 49 days in there, and it's pitch black, and that they are to sit in there until the inner spirit begins to talk to them. After 5 or 6 days, that there's a lot of people that start hallucinating, and they said they've got to work through the hallucinations, so that on page 20, that when the real spirit begins to talk to them, they'll know the difference between that and an hallucination. And the people come and feed them in a little hole. They put the food in a little hole, and they cover it up so that the people inside, that person sitting naked inside that cave, can open up that little move that curtain, and they'll take that food. They're not in contact with nobody whatsoever, in order that they might find themselves, if you want to call it that, or find that inner peace. We know that Buddha, in my understanding of the religion, is correct, that God is within each and every one of us, and we just got to find Him. And I thought about that. They showed that old dirt, a dark, dismal cave. I know that that ain't a picture of hell. Where men will take themselves to try to find the true God. He can be found in our holy word. And my mind, just a picture of what's to come when they begin to hallucinate. There was even one that said, to try how to figure out the demonic spirit from that inner spirit. I thought to myself, thanks be to Jesus, Daryl didn't have to find him all on his own, but that Jesus came to me, that he set me free. He didn't send me into a cave to find the Lord, but he set me free from the one I was dwelling in. That he brought my life. Almighty showed him up on my face and didn't hide me away in the darkness of a cave. But that even those that are born again
though they would find themselves in a cave as dark as what these Buddhists voluntarily go into to try to find themselves. That if we have the light of God in our hearts, and that He can bring joy and peace, no pit is so deep nor so dark that the love and the light of God will not shine in. But we must know the truth. The Bible speaks about those that will believe a lie and be damned. There are those that are wondering and fearful that they would make a decision to serve the Lord. But what if my grandfather knew about it? He'd roll over in his grave. Well, if the truth be known, and your grandfather is in heaven, that would be a foolish statement to make, because he would want anybody to come and follow him and be in heaven. But you know what? That grandfather isn't in heaven. By all accounts that we find in Scripture, there is no telling how many hours, days, weeks, years have been spent in earnest prayer, just as the rich man seeked Abraham to send someone to his people. And the very thing that we're afraid of, the very thing that we would think that would disappoint those that we care about that have went on, this is the very thing they wish we would do because they didn't. Let's get some song to sing. Have you lost sight of what's important? You know, if you live day in and day out, sometimes in the drudgery of things, we do. We lose sight of what we're working for. You know, if a man never seen his paycheck, and he had an opportunity to work a little overtime, he might say, well, there really ain't no point because I've worked overtime and I've worked 40 hours and I've worked overtime and I really don't have no extra money neither way. Because if he'd never seen his paycheck, he wouldn't realize that there's a benefit to it. Now, we've been on shared work. We've been working 32 hours. Most people that are accustomed to working 50 hours a week, you know, they try to, if you're wise, you'll budget yourself for 40 hours because you're not going to always be working overtime. But you know, it's very few people that budget themselves to live on 32 hours, because typically if you have a full-time job, you have a full-time job. So you know what? Money's a little tight. We don't get a paycheck anymore. They direct deposit in our bank account. But they do give us a piece of paper. But you know what? When you're working 4 days a week and you're off Friday, you don't see that check. There was a point in time that when Daryl wasn't at work on Friday, he was wishing that he had his check. Well, now it's already in the bank, but still Daryl don't know what it is. If you ain't careful, just work week after week, you don't realize that one week is different than the other. And if the opportunity, some men at work, I guess they're always up against it. You'd think that'd make them want to work harder. But I know one man in particular, his wife spends it faster than he can make it. But yet he don't have a desire to come in and work on Saturday because he never sees his paycheck. Yet he's there. Day after day. Now our goal in life should not be that paycheck. There should be more to it. But I would think that if you're a man with a family, that sometimes motivates us when we're feeling bad, doesn't it? We need to get up. We don't go into work. our paycheck won't be near as big. We won't get one if we're gone all week. And if we do that very often, we'll quit getting them all together. And in our Christian life, I think sometimes the things become a habit and a drudgery, and they're just, as it were, treading water. And lose sight of what's important. I'm thankful at the passing of a loved one, that if we know that they're born again, that we can say we will see them again. And that we can rejoice in the fact that that they have been set free from the burdens and the heartaches of this world, to never experience them again. And that ought to make us all the more want to press forward for that great and wonderful family reunion one day, where we'll all bodily gather around the throne of God. You know, if the Lord would call me home tomorrow, and I'm not standing on this earth when He comes back for the church, that regardless of how I might meet my Lord, that we that are Christians can know that in death we will be comforted, and that it should motivate us all the more to realize as well that our loved ones that are lost, that in death they will be tormented.